I invite you to turn to Psalm 97. I appreciate so much that beautiful offertory. I believe that was for the beauty of the earth. It was in there somewhere. That was a lickety-split version. Wow, thank you. That was beautiful. And my wife and I, again, want to just thank you so much for your gift to us last week, the Pastor Appreciation Month gift. You were so generous and kind, and what a blessing that was, a blessing of knowing it came from the heart and love of people that love this church, love the Lord, and love us. And we just want to say again how we love you. Count a privilege to be a part of this family, and thank you for putting up with me. I know it's not hard to put up with my wife, but it's hard to put up with me, and I appreciate you doing that. Psalm 97 and verse 1. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are in the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlighten the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, and the presence of the Lord in the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, and if you're able, wouldn't you stand as we join together in asking God's help and blessing on his word this morning. Our Father, thank you for the blessing of salvation. Thank you for the blessing of being able to gather together as a body of Jesus Christ. We are simply branches of the vine. You are the vine. You are the door. You are the great shepherd, and we are simply sheep seeking to follow you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for dying on the cross and paying a price that we can never pay. We just pray your blessing upon the preaching of your word this morning. Help us to focus on you, on your love and your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Father, for who you are, what you've done, and what you are doing and what you will do. And we know you only desire good. Even the difficult times are there for our good and your glory. So bless, help me as I preach. Help us all as we listen and apply the word to our hearts. We commit this time to you now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, I heard that President Trump just banned, he put a ban on shredded cheese. He still wants to make America great again. G-R-A-T-E. He wants to make America great cheese again, in case you didn't get it. Okay, that was really stupid. But President Donald Trump, in case you didn't realize, Donald Trump is our president today. Now, I don't know who will be on January 20th or whenever the inauguration takes place, but we wonder, who will be our president after all? Donald Trump or Joe Biden? Who won the 2020 presidential race? Now, Joe Biden has been declared the winner by the news media. And I don't know if that's official, if that makes it official or not. Last I knew, it was the news media and declared him the winner. President Trump has not conceded. Now, we aren't surprised at that. We shouldn't be. Still counting votes? Has there been shenanigans that have gone on? Some cheating, maybe? Some ballot box stuffing? Seems to be evidence of some of that. Many feel that this election is being stolen by the Democrats, and they have good reason for thinking that. We should not be surprised if there has been. After all, we are dealing with politicians, you know, and they're right up there with Dennis as far as popularity. And we know about some of the shenanigans our politicians pull. Anyway, the question is, who will rule? Who will reign? Who is king? Who is president? Well, do you want to know? I know who won. I've got inside information. The Lord our God, He has won. And He is winning, and He will always be the victor. And our victory is directly tied to His. If the Lord wins, we win, for we are swept into victory on His coattails. Now, the morning after the election, the election was Tuesday, on Wednesday morning, I got up not knowing who won. I went to bed the night before, not knowing who won, at about 10 o'clock that night. And I woke up Wednesday morning not knowing that there was no decision yet. Well, I wanted to read my Bible and not be distracted by politics. And the first verse I turned to in reading my psalm for the morning was Psalm 91, verse 1. That was the very first thing I turned to, and it was the day that I had come to Psalm 91. And what do we read in Psalm 97, verse 1? The Lord reigneth, or the Lord has become king. It can be translated, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. Wow. I knew that, but I really didn't know it in a way that should bring joy to my heart. And that morning it did. I realized that it didn't matter who wins the presidency or the Senate or in the house, because all that really matters is that the Lord Jehovah reigns. He reigns, He rules, He governs, and He controls everything that moves and that doesn't move. God is ruler of it all, bar none. The winds and the waves were wildly moving when the disciples were at sea. But when the Lord spoke, we find that even the winds and the waves obey Him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the boat was covered with the waves, but He was asleep. And the disciples came to Him and awake Him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And He saith unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? And then He arose and He rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Can you feel that calm this morning? Has He rebuked the waves and the wind in your heart? There can be a great calm, you know. And He rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this? And even the winds and the sea obey Him. That's found in Matthew 8. 24 to 27. He rules mankind. He rules mountains, including the mountain that you face, the mountain of trouble that you just can't climb. And don't tell me you don't have a mountain of trouble or that you've never had a mountain of trouble. He rules politicians. He rules dictators, tyrants, good men and bad men. He rules the wind and the waves. The Lord reigns. But the question is, does He reign in your heart this morning? Who's reigning there? Who's on the throne of your heart? Who has control of your life? To whom do you look? I'm saying, to whom do you look? Instead of, to what do I look? I have the attitude, if my circumstances were better, I'd be happy. Ever think that way? Every one of us thinks that way. We all battle that, don't we? But the Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. And because the Lord reigns, the earth can rejoice. And if the earth can rejoice, how much more should I? Because I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And if there ought to be joy anywhere, it ought to be right smack dab in the middle of my heart, every day, every hour. I don't care who becomes our president. That shouldn't have one ounce of an impact on whether or not I have joy. Now, You know what I'm saying. I care. But the bottom line is, it doesn't matter. In the whole scheme of things, in the light of eternity, in light of who's really ruling, it doesn't matter. It shouldn't have one ounce of impact on whether or not I have joy. Don't let the things in this life be joy stealers. We got too many joy stealers in our life, and they just hit us all the time. Let the multitude of the isles be glad. If the islands and the coastland can be glad, cannot his redeemed be glad? Is it not a glad day today? Is not today a glad day? It sure is. After all, we're marching to Zion, which yields us 1,000 sacred things. Let me get a drink. And then you need one? It's right up here. We are marching to Zion, which yields 1,000 sacred sweets. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fair worlds on high. We're marching. We're moving. I'm living on a mountain underneath the cloudless sky. I'm living in Beulah land. Look at Psalm 93, verse 1. Psalm 93, 1. By the way, Philippians 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. And Paul said this he said this while he was chained in a dungeon under the rulership of wicked Caesar. Psalm 93, 1, the Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established, and it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. Psalm 96, verse 10. Psalm 96, 10. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. So there it is again. The world also shall be established, and it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. And then Psalm 99, 1 to 3. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high among all the people. Let them praise the great and terrible name, for it is holy. Let them praise thy great and terrible name. Awesome. The word terrible has the idea of awesome name, for it is holy. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 15:57, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So why are you down? Why art thou cast down, my soul? Why are you disturbed within your heart? We are called heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. Romans 8:17. So Christ gives us a victory. We're more than conquerors. We're heirs of God. We will be glorified together with him. And so be glad and rejoice. You've got every reason to be glad. We have hundreds of reasons to rejoice and be thankful right now. Right now, if we can't be glad and rejoicing today, when will we? When will we? Well, when we get a president that really knows how to run this country. Well, good luck with that. You know, I've decided that it's always that we rarely have anyone run for president that really should be president. It's the best people for president never run. They're too smart to do that, I guess. But we have hundreds of reasons to rejoice and be thankful now. We really have no problems. We have just a bunch of promises. And our so-called problems are simply his promises in disguise, so that we must trust in God, rely upon him, though we don't always see the way. It's not always made plain to us. That's all right. That means we have to trust. Walk by faith. He knows the way that I take, Job said in Job 23:10. He knoweth the way that I take, and when I am tried, I shall come forth as gold. He knows, and I know him. That's all I need to know. The Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. You see, we just have some light affliction, which is but for a moment. We just have little problems. They're going to go away soon. Our problems, but we shall come forth as gold. Our problems are gold makers is what they are. The Lord reigns, so let's rejoice today. We're on our way to heaven. What more can we ask for than that? And he will supply all our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, today, tomorrow, and all the way to glory land. He's going to take care of us. He's our shepherd, as we looked at in John. By the way, if you notice, I'm not preaching out in John this morning. Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God be for us, who can be against us, right? Well, what about the elections? I'm coming to realize God's in control of that. God is in total control of that. We do our part. We pray. We vote. We take a stand for truth and righteousness. But God sets up and God takes down our leaders and our governors. He does it all the time. God is reigning, and because he reigns, he determines what will come to pass, including the election of our leaders, our kings, if you will. Look at Daniel 2. Turn to Daniel 2 and verses 20 and 21. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he wanted his astrologers and philosophers to tell him what his dream was and then tell him what the dream meant. And they were saying, look, king, tell us what you dreamed about first. He says, no, I can't remember. Daniel knew, and Daniel told him. But Daniel said first in Daniel 2:20, and we know this is about when Nebuchadnezzar dreamed of a great image, and the head of gold, and the chest of silver, the thighs of brass, the legs of iron. In verse 20, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings, and he sets up kings. He giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Who removes kings? God does. Who sets up kings? God does. Who removes presidents? God does. Who sets up presidents? God does. We can confidently say that ultimately it is God who votes people into their office. He's in charge of the election. We have a responsibility to make our choice, to prayerfully make our choice, do it wisely, but the ultimate outcome is not left up to chance. He sovereignly uses our voting to accomplish his will. God's going to put the one in office that he wants in office, but he will use our voting to accomplish that somehow. You see, the ultimate outcome is not left up to chance, to good luck, or to bad luck. We never get dealt a bad hand or depend on the luck of the draw, to use the playing card analogy. We don't get a raw deal or experience tough luck or rotten luck or a tough break or a bum rap. We don't depend on Lady Fortune or misfortune or fate. We are living under the complete control and plan and purpose of God every single moment of every day. Jesus Christ is working all things out after the counsel of his own will. Everything is moving right on schedule according to God's perfect and wonderful will. We read Proverbs 16:9. Then I'm going to turn to another verse in Daniel. Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. We come up with a plan. We devise our way. We plan our way. But God is the one who establishes our steps, how it actually is worked out. Look in Daniel 2:37. Daniel 2:37. Daniel says, "Thou, O king," he's speaking to wicked Nebuchadnezzar, "thou art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom and power and strength and glory." Verse 39, "And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee." So what's Daniel saying? Nebuchadnezzar, you are wicked, you are a pagan, but God gave you your kingdom. Look at chapter 4 of Daniel. Chapter 4, 17. "This matter is my decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whomsoever he will, and he sendeth up over it the basest of men." God will put base men to rule over nations. In other words, he will put the lowest of the low. He can use scum to be leaders of nations, and he does that. And then Daniel 4:32, "And speaking of Nebuchadnezzar, and they shall drive thee from men, thy dwelling shall be with the beasts in the field, they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whomsoever he will." God is reigning. God rules over all the kingdoms, but he gives the rulership of nations to whoever he will, that rule under him. You see, God is in charge, and I need to realize that this morning. Whether it be Biden is our next president, or whether Trump wins his lawsuits and they have a recount and he still becomes president again, we don't know. All that's still in waiting. But in and all, God is in charge. He's in control of the most wicked rulers that ever dared wear a crown. Ultimately, they all bow before this true sovereign, the true king of the universe. This includes our leaders, our presidents. God gives them their power and authority. Isaiah 45, verse 1. You may turn there. Isaiah 45:1. "Thus saith the Lord to his anointed," which can be translated Messiah. "Thus saith the Lord to his Messiah, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, I have held or grasped to subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins and the king to open before him the two-leaved gate, and the gate shall not be shut." So Cyrus, king of Persia, who came in and got rid of Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, and God, Cyrus was being used by God. Cyrus was simply a pawn in God's hand, his anointing. God calls this king his anointed. And then verse 5, Isaiah 45:5. "I am the Lord, there is none else, there is no God beside me. I girded thee, and thou hast not known me, that they may know that from the rising of the sun from the west, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, there is none else. I form the light, create darkness, I make peace, and create evil," or create calamity, troubles. "I, the Lord, do all these things." Also, Isaiah 44:28, he refers to Cyrus as "my shepherd." My shepherd. Amazing. Amazing. "Indeed, there is no God beside me." Only God could have elevated lowly Joseph. Remember Joseph? God elevated him to become ruler in Egypt. Here was a young man who, because of his dreams, was hated by his brothers to the point of their wanting to murder him. They threw him in a pit in a cistern to die. Instead, though, they decided to make some money off of him. So they sold him to slave traders, who took him to Egypt to become a servant of Potiphar. He was falsely accused of immorality, wrongfully thrown in prison for several years. And then by the amazing providence of God, was made second in command over the most powerful nation on the earth. What a marvelous display of God's sovereign control over who is in power in governments. God puts down one, sets up another. And he set up Joseph, who was in prison a few days earlier. And we read about that in Genesis 41:37 to 43, when Pharaoh made Joseph second in command. Thou shalt be, verse 40, thou shalt be over my house, according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. All this reminds us that God is in charge. God is in control. He is working out his sovereign purpose and plan for his glory and, believe it or not, for your good. For your good. And you and I must believe that with all of our heart. We must live it. And that means a life of joy, a life of real peace and joy, having the knowledge that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. The qualifier is, I've got to love God. I need to know him. Do you know him? Do you know God as your God? Do you know him as your Savior? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, the one who died on the cross and bore your sins there? For you then who believe, everything's working out perfectly according to God's plan. You know what? This year, the rest of 2020 and 2021, if I live long enough to make it 2021, should be the best year of our life. This can be the best year of our life, of your life. Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and as rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wills. The king's heart is like a stream of water that God is turning. God controls the actions, even the thoughts of the king. The very heart and soul of the king is in God's hands. God will use whatever man he puts in a place of leadership to do his will, to do his bidding. And I believe that means that whoever is president will simply be an instrument that God uses to accomplish his perfect will, whether it be for good or whether it be for evil. If Joe Biden is our next president, he is a puppet king. We say, well, I already know that. Joe's not going to be in charge. All those surrounding him, they're going to run the government. Well, I mean by puppet king, God has our president on the end of a string, and he controls everything. Now, yes, the president is responsible and accountable to God for the decisions he makes and how he leads, but ultimately, God is the one who is in charge. Proverbs 8:15, By wisdom or God, kings reign, princes decree justice. By me, princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Proverbs 8:15-16. Amy Carmichael said, sometimes it is dull weather in our soul. Ever have that? Maybe you're having that this morning. Is it raining in your heart? A lot of fog, a lot of mist, kind of a yucky day. Sometimes we have dull weather in our soul, she says. Often, when it is misty on the plains, it is bright on the mountains. And Psalm 76:4 says, thou art more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. We need to look up to the mountains, don't we? The mist may lie low on the plains, Carmichael says, but there is a shining forth from the mountains. You see, we get discouraged, and we find dull weather in our souls, don't we? But Psalm 36:5 says, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. Turn to Romans 13. Romans 13, when the mist is heavy upon me, and sometimes I feel the mist and the dull weather, I need to remember God's mercy is in the heavens. God's mercy is on the mountains. In dull weather, we simply look up to the mountains. We refuse to be captured and trapped by the dullness and discouragement of the fogs and mists of the plains. Romans 13:1, we read, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. That includes the power of mayor, of governor, of senator, congressman, president, judge, every soul subject to higher powers, and that power is of God. And all the powers, all the authority that we live under is given by God. Speaking of that one in authority, verse 4, for he is a what? Minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God. God calls those in authority over us his ministers. His ministers, his servants. Remember, God sets up the basis of men to lead us. The lowest of the low. Even men like Pilate. Look at John 19. God even uses men like Pilate, who had a very vital part in the murder of Jesus Christ. His hand was involved in murdering the Son of God. Look at John 19, verse 10. He's debating with Jesus Christ. He's about to send him to the cross. And John 19, 10, then said Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee? And I would tell Jesus, do you know who you're talking to? I'm in charge here, and I can kill you, or I can let you go. That's a lot of power. You know, we've seen a lot of mayors and governors exercising a lot of power in these COVID days, right? But I won't go down that road. Verse 11, Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee has the greater sin. Pilate, that power you have was given to you by God. And that's true. And that's true today. Remember, the Lord reigns. Not Trump, not Biden. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. I don't reign. He is God. I'm not. I need to get off my little throne, throne of my heart, thinking I can just go on my merry way, and if I can just work things out, it'll all get better. I need to let God be God and let us live like we believe it, for it's true, it's reality. God is God. Let him be God in your heart. Quit dwelling on the fake news that's over in the United States of America. The fake news that we are doomed. We are far from being doomed. I can always rejoice and be glad in him. My joy is not at all dependent on Washington, D.C., or on our politicians. You know, we say, well, it's over. What's over? What's over? Their decisions, our politicians' decisions, are important and they have tremendous impact on us, but they do not make or break us. For we are already broken and poured out vessels to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our sovereign master, leader, captain, and friend. That leader, Jesus Christ, in Philippians 2:7, made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He took on flesh. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's where we need to be. Philippians 2, 7 to 11. Hebrews 12, and you can turn there if you like. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Hebrews 12, 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed, surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily trip us up. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Got that? Let's run. We're in the race. Let's go for the finish line. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Remember, he reigns. He's reigning. For consider him that endured such contradiction, such hostility of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You've not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You're not dead yet. So consider him who did die and was raised from the dead for you and me. Someone said if the leader bears the brunt of the battle, the soldier can follow. If the leader bears the brunt of the battle, we soldiers can follow. Jesus bore the brunt of the battle. We just follow. So don't give up. Don't faint. Don't quit because of being weary and faint in your minds. Consider him. Look to him. He is our hope, our anchor, our stability in turmoil, our peace in the storm. Remember, Christ in the boat said, "Why are you afraid, O ye of little faith?" Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. How? In the light of his glory and grace. That's what Elizabeth Elliot said. If we look to Jesus, it changes the look of things around us. If we look to Jesus, it changes the look of all the things around us, doesn't it? And it does. Paul said, Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." See? I'm crucified. Are you crucified with Christ? Do you identify with Christ in his death, that you are willing to die to sin that wants to control you? Say, "I want to be Christ. I belong to him." But we like to be comfortable. Or I do anyway. Maybe you don't. But I love to be comfortable. We like the easy street. We want the easy street. But maybe we need to soldier up and just be faithful to Jesus Christ. Like these veterans had to learn how to soldier up, right? Learn how to march, how to fight. We need to soldier up. And just be faithful to Jesus Christ. We must keep on keeping on. We're not dead yet. We're not dead yet. So keep on. That day will come soon enough. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together. Romans 8:16 and 17. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us," or to us. Sufferings, maybe. They're not worth comparing with the glory that's coming. They don't even come close. And so Colossians 3:1-4. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God." Your life is hid with Christ in God. So that's where our focus should be today. Not on the politicians, not on, well, who's going to control the Senate? That's a whole nother thing. I don't know, I'm praying it goes conservative, but we're waiting on Georgia. Now we got to wait another couple months to find who's going to control the Senate. You know, I don't like all this, but this is what God has done. So, your life is hidden with Christ, and when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. He reigns, he rules, he's coming again, and you and I are going to come with him in glory in that day when he puts down all rule and power and authority. Again, Colossians 3:1-4. 2 Timothy 2:11, "This is a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall live with him. If we suffer with him, we will reign with him." He reigns, but you and I are going to reign with him. That's amazing. We shall reign with him. In Revelation 11, you may turn there if you like. I want to read a few verses from Revelation. Revelation 11, verse 15. 11:15. "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Then chapter 19, verse 6. 19:6. "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." He reigns. He's reigned yesterday. He reigns today. He will reign tomorrow. That will never change. And then Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The saints of God are going to reign with Christ in the millennial kingdom. And then Revelation 22:3. Why? Am I worthy of that? Do I qualify? By God's grace. God sees Christ in me. God sees perfection in you, holiness in you. Am I living according to my calling, my destination? Revelation 22:3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. And his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light in the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. They, the angels, the saints, along with the Lord God, will reign forever and ever. See, God has a plan. It may not be your plan, but it is the plan. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Everything that happens is part of God's plan, and it's bigger than anything we can imagine, comprehend. All leaders come to power, and all leaders leave power as a part of God's plan. And through it all, we have an obligation to the truth of God's word, because Jesus is the truth. And our obligation to him comes before our obligation to anything else. Obligation to our true ruler and king. He who brought bread from heaven and water from rocks and raised you and me from the dust of the earth and stitched you and me together in our mother's womb will prepare a table before you and me in the presence of our enemies. And our cup will overflow even in that presence. 1 Peter 3:17, it is better if the will of God be so that we suffer. You suffer for well-doing. We may have to suffer. For Christ also hath suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Christ suffered for sins. Christ suffered on the cross for my sin. He suffered. He went through agony, torture. He was brutally murdered for my sins. He was just, perfect, righteous, holy. I was unjust. And the just suffered for the unjust, that the unjust might take on his just righteousness. God will never punish you for your sins. Christ was punished. Christ was punished in your place. You are justified in him. He loves you. He is for you. He is working out his perfect plan in your life. And the discipline he brings to you and me is good. Often he has to discipline us, chasten us. But he does it because he loves us. And if we be without chastening, then we're not legitimate children of God, Hebrews 12 says. So the discipline he brings you and me is for a good, maybe for this nation's good. The difficulties, the chaos, and we know that God is not confused of it all or upset about whatever the final outcome of the elections will be. God sits upon his throne and he is reigning. But I close with the question again, is he reigning in your heart? Is he ruling in your life? Who is on the throne of your heart and life? You or the Lord? The decision is yours. It's decision time. We've been hearing a lot about that over the past weeks and months. And decision time didn't come and it's gone. It's decision time for the Lord. Who will you serve? Who will reign in your heart? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and this reminder that you are sovereign, you are King, you are our God, you are our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for your love to us and your mercy and grace. It's by grace we are saved through faith. It's nothing that we can do. It's only because of your gracious gift of salvation to those who are so unworthy. We pray your blessing upon us as we close. May we commit our way to you, give our heart to you, and may we go away rejoicing and having joy in our heart every hour of every day of the next few days and weeks and months and years and, if so be, decades to come until we see Jesus, whom we know our eyes will behold one day. We pray your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.